Bible Studies show. Whoa, what up is Ruth? And she fell on her face.
Oh no.
Okay, so she and Ruth are kicking it in Bethlehem to come unto a people.
Oh my god.
Which doubt the Lord.
So she's like, don't text him.
Wash thyself therefore. And anoint thee. I'm surprised.
Because it's weird.
Good thing I have the whole Bible memorized.
Hi.
Hi.
Woo! Whiskey.
Yeah, that's why I'm gurgling. My stomach.
Your stomach is like, it's 3 p.m.
Let us begin. Hello, and welcome to Bible-ish. The podcast where we tell Bible stories. I'm Lily.
And I am Angela.
Neither of us are religious experts, but we aren't here to tell you a moral. We're here to tell you a story. This week is
The Story of Jonah.
So do you know anything about Jonah?
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like he went in a whale.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I feel like Pinocchio also went in a whale.
Yeah.
So I get them confused. And I don't actually know the story of Jonah or why he got in a whale.
Well, you're not wrong about that.
That's cool.
Jonah was in a whale.
Wow.
And I think that that story actually inspired that scene in Pinocchio.
Yes, that would make sense, so I guess, chronologically.
Probably why you think of it.
But, like, how and why? And also, is this in the Bible that he was in a whale?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
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 So, Angela.
Yeah.
You have won a mandatory trip.
I have won a mandatory trip. Already, that sounds a lot like jail.
You have to fund it yourself.
Oh, okay.
To Cleveland.
Why?
What do you think about? What do you think about that?
It makes me think it's a setup.
It is a setup.
Oh, okay.
Because once you get to Cleveland, mm-hmm. and I need you to leave, like, right after this.
Okay.
You have to tell them that they're wicked and the city will be destroyed in 40 days by God.
I don't think they're going to like me for that.
So, you'd call that probably your first big reservation?
Yeah, that's a red flag.
What are maybe some more concerns or opportunities do you see?
So, for example, I don't know anyone in Cleveland.
Okay.
So that's a problem. Also, I am not entirely sure where Cleveland is. So,
Ohio.
Okay. Right. But, you know, the exact location. Okay. So that's going to be an issue for me. And, you know, I guess the opportunity is that I'm probably already a quarter of the way across America, so mm-hmm. might as well keep going after that. Might as well keep trucking.
So, Jonah is the son of Amittai. We don't know who that is
nope.
yet, though, but I thought that we would just say it and keep it in our back pocket, and then maybe later, when we stumble across that name again, we'll be like, oh, Jonah's dad.
Okay.
All right.
Also, it's a cool word, Amittai.
Yeah, if that's how you pronounce it. So, one day, God tells him that he has to go to Cleveland.
Wait. What? No.
He tells him that he has to go to Nineveh.
Okay. I was like, wait a minute. Is that a Bible name?
And he also tells him he must preach against it because God has decided that the town or the city is wicked. Okay, hold on. There's an emergency.
I'm not going to Cleveland. You can't make me. You have to put me in handcuffs before I'll go to Cleveland.
So the reason I chose Cleveland is you have absolutely no connection to Cleveland.
Mm-mm.
It's a really inconvenient, out-of-the-way trip.
Yeah.
So I wanted that to be your first reaction, because that was probably Jonah's first reaction.
Yeah.
And then be told that you have to tell that entire population that they're wicked.
No, because also, like, who am I showing up in Cleveland, probably wearing all black, because I'm used to living here, and they're going to be like, who's this? Why? Like, I don't, no one here knows you. Why should we trust you and also stop insulting us?
Exactly. Like... You know what I thought of when I first read that part of the story?
What?
So, in one of the apartments Angela and I lived together in Astoria, there was this girl who moved in downstairs. She was from Spain, and she had this really thick Spanish accent. And I had not met her yet. I didn't know that they had gotten a subletter downstairs. So one day, I'm outside of the apartment, locking it up to go onto the subway. And this girl turns around and looks over her shoulder and points at the door and says, "Do not lock this place." Because she was standing outside and didn't have the keys. But she had this really thick Spanish accent. So it just sounded like, "I do not like this place."
"I do not like this place."
So to me, there was this girl who I'd never met standing outside of my house, pointing at it angrily, saying, "I do not like this place." And I was like, "Okay, well, leave.
Stop looking at it then." No one forced you to stand here and look at my apartment building.
So I just pictured him standing in Nineveh, just pointing at everyone, going, "I do not like this place."
Be like, GTFO.
So instead of doing that, Jonah runs from the Lord and gets on a boat to Tarshish.
Mm-hmm. He's going to Target.
Oh, I almost didn't swallow that.
Lily almost had an actual spit take. I'm having a stressful day. I just need to go to Target. Okay.
I'm just going to load up a cart and then run. I'm just going to run.
I think it's only like 3 boat stops away.
So on the boat ride to Tarshish, God creates this huge storm. It feels as though the ship will break apart.
Oh, God. That's like my nightmare. For the record, I don't think I will ever go on a cruise. Yeah. I have never. I don't boat. I don't do the things on the boats.
I haven't been on a prolonged boat ride ever.
Yeah. Let's not.
I've never really been interested in cruises. The only reason I'd want to go on a cruise is because the middle of the ocean, as long as it isn't one of those gigantic cruise ships, is one of the only places on Earth there's zero light pollution.
Oh, that is really cool.
The only other reason I'd want to go on a cruise is to see glaciers.
Yes. Also
before cool. There are no more glaciers.
Yeah.
Because that's not necessarily something that you can, like...
You can't really do by yourself.
Yeah.
All right. Fair, fair, fair.
I wouldn't want to hike to glaciers.
No. No. I think a lot of people died that way. this situation he's having is definitely why I don't like that. But, you know, he's on his way to Target. It's worth it.
The crew doesn't like it either, and they start panicking. Each sailor cries out to his own God and then starts throwing cargo overboard to lighten the load.
Okay. I kind of feel like a lighter ship is easier to toss around, but that's fine.
Jonah was asleep this whole time.
Buddy.
This whole storm where it feels like the ship is going to break apart and every single crew member is screaming and crying out to their own God, Jonah is asleep this whole time.
Okay. I mean, he might want to see a doctor for that.
The captain goes down below deck to wake him and says, "Are you seriously sleeping right now? We all just cried out to our gods and threw everything overboard. You have to go call yours because we're all out."
You are only phone a friend left.
The crew casts lots to find out who's responsible for such a calamity. The lot falls on Jonah.
Oh. I don't know if that's fair, but...
So casting lots is like cleromancy plus sortition. It's an attempt to... Cool. It's an attempt to predict the will of God or the gods by basically... rolling a dice in the form of, like, reading runes or bones or entrails or tea leaves.
Wow.
Sorry, I don't know why those were the entrails. First ones. Or palms.
Because it's spooky season, Lily. Like reading innards or livers or opening someone's throat and seeing what's inside. I don't know.
But then also acting on that. Yeah. Based off of the outcome.
Interesting. God, people used to be so much witchier.
So the crew says to Jonah, what did you do?
Yep.
Who do you worship? And Jonah says, who, me? I'm a Hebrew and I worship this guy called the Lord and he made the land and the sea. So that's I wish I had a picture of your face because that is probably the whole crew just giving him the side eye.
Oh my God. You didn't think about that?
They get extremely frightened and try to figure out what to do, how to appease this God who's a creator. So Jonah says, pick me up and throw me into the sea. It's my fault this storm has come upon you.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all afraid to kill him.
Right. Because also they're like, his God is kind of like throwing a fit right now.
And they attempt to row back toward land. So the storm worsens. The crew throws Jonah overboard. The sea calms almost immediately. And he begins to sink into the depths.
Oh, I can't swim.
But he's swallowed by a massive fish. A Megalodon. Whale.
Oh. That'd be really cool.
A megalodon. We're using it.
Yes, thank you. If you don't know what a megalodon is, you should really look it up. It's the scariest shark that ever was.
It's really scary.
It was 60
Why
feet
was
long.
That a thing?
Because, you know what, it was all, I feel like at that point in evolution, it was just like, anything goes. So like, why not make a shark the size of a school bus? But then like over time, it got more crowded and they were like, all right, we have to be reasonable. Reasonable 15-foot shark, please.
So the megalodon had been
Yes.
The megalodon had been sent by God to protect him. He had been drowning. He prays to God inside of the fish and lives there for 3 days.
That's a stinky house.
Mm-hmm.
Yucky. Yuck.
Can you imagine how much he must have learned about whales, though?
Oh my goodness.
So, the megalodon spits Jonah out onto dry land after the 3 days. And again, Jonah is told by God to get his ass to Nineveh already.
I put you in timeout for 3 days. What have you learned?
So he buys a one-way ticket to Cleveland.
Finds the nearest megabus.
He wanders the city after he arrives, shouting that God will overturn it in 40 days.
Why is it always 40?
What's the thing with 40? I don't know why that's such a significant number.
It's 40 or 80.
Or 9. That's another popular one.
Yeah. Very interesting. Maybe it lined up with like their 7. Calendar better? If they had any kind of calendaring going on?
I'm not sure. Because there's such thing as sacred numbers. But that's a... That's like a mini episode sort of topic.
Anyway, 40 days they have to clean up their act or get out, I guess.
Yep. The city is God-fearing, and everyone begins a fast, and they all put on sackcloths.
Sackcloths.
The hottest sackcloths are us. We got sackcloths, sackcloths, sackcloths. They're all sackcloths.
Lord and sackcloth.
Once word reaches the king of Nineveh, he strips naked, puts on a sackcloth, and sits in dust.
Okay, like a chinchilla. And I'm going to sit here.
And look adorable.
Till God forgives me.
He declares everyone must fast. Which they were already doing, but like, okay.
Yeah, like a little late to the party.
He's on board now, so.
But he's like, that's so annoying. I'd be like, we've already been doing that. You're not the person who invented fasting.
God is pleasantly surprised by this and decides not to destroy everyone there.
Hmm.
This makes Jonah angry.
But
he says, see, I knew you were a compassionate God who's slow to anger.
Hmm. Who what to anger?
Who's slow to anger.
Oh, slow to anger.
Also, since when?
Yeah.
This is what I think I have mentioned to you before, where there's this change in God from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and even within the Old Testament, because this is a story from the Old Testament, but it is toward the end.
Interesting. They were like doing a PR campaign on God.
Because the God that we've met in the stories that we've done in Bible-ish, who killed a man who touched his box trying to protect it from falling.
Who played a mean trick on a guy and told him he had to kill his son and then said, JK, can't believe you fell for that.
So this is a little bit... at least to me, shows a change.
Yeah. He has not been slow to anger so far.
But Jonah says, that's why I didn't come to Nineveh originally, because it would have been a waste of time. And now nothing I do or say matters, so you might as well kill me.
What? But you made all those people be good or whatever.
He doesn't see it that way. So Jonah goes to pout on the side of a mountain overlooking the city to see if anything will happen.
This is my pouting mountain.
I just picture him like stomping up the mountain and then like sitting down with a harumph like a toddler just like.
No, it wasn't fair and I don't like it. And you're mean and I think the city's bad.
And all these people are mean and they won't even, you won't even do anything about it. You made me come here.
If they can't all be dead, I don't want anything.
God says, do you think you have a right to be angry? And Jonah says, yeah, I think I do, actually.
Because?
It's a super hot day, so God grows this vine up and over Jonah to give him shade. The next morning, which is also hot, he sends a worm to eat the leaves.
Interesting. God giveth, God taketh away.
God makes the day even hotter, and Jonah grows faint. Oh my God, just kill me.
He's being such a teenager right now.
God responds, do you think you have a right to be angry about the vine? And Jonah says, heck yes, I'm angry about that vine. So God replies, but you did not grow it. And you did not cultivate it. Down there are thousands I have grown and cultivated who don't know their right from their left. Should I not be concerned about this city?
Okay. I thought this was going to like an entitlement space.
Yeah.
I guess it kind of is, where he's like, you're not entitled to stuff you didn't make yourself.
Yes. It's a strange and abrupt ending.
Wait, that's the end?
Yes.
Oh. There was no like, and Jonah sighed and said, God's right.
And then he stomped back down the mountain. That's the end.
Okay. All right. They're really like hammering it home with that one.
And it shows little to no change in Jonah's character.
Yeah.
But it shows a huge change in God's.
Yes. Yeah. It seems like that was more of the point in terms of their, like you said, like trying to show a different side of God that hasn't been in the other stories. And, yeah, that's weird.
And what is also weird, to me is that God, in my opinion, in the earliest stories from the Bible, learns a lot of his compassion from humanity.
Interesting.
Like in the story of Abraham, where he convinces God that even a faithful few should be worth saving the city of Sodom.
Yeah. My brain always goes back though to that, like that debacle between like man being made in the image of God. Theoretically, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
That he's learning compassion by something that's also created in his image. It feels like parenting, though. It feels a lot like when I've talked to parents being like, they've taught me so much about myself and about the world, you know, or like really even just being around kids at all.
Definitely.
Yeah.
When I first read this story and was grappling with the ending.
Yeah. And the end.
For some reason, my immediate interpretation was it felt as though God wanted credit for having learned compassion and recognition for using it. And I think the reason I thought that is because I was like, why wouldn't the lesson have been that Jonah saved the city and he should look at himself as someone who helped these people?
Because I feel like in other stories, that's been the case. Like you talk about like a person who saves or doesn't save, but does the right thing in the eyes of God. And they're the focus of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he wanted him to not be mad at him for deciding on his own to save it.
Yeah.
So what do you think is up with the vine?
The vine.
Like What do you think
is up with the vine?
What do you think that lesson...
Vine is an app that should come back, first of all. second
of all... Is there no more Vine?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Mm-mm. That's why you can only find those clips on YouTube that are so good. Some of them are just so good.
Was that the potato one?
Yes. A potato flew around my room. And that's it. Because you only get like 10 seconds. it sounds like it was he was trying to draw a picture for Jonah, essentially, of like, you don't have a right to be mad about things that aren't in your control, which is like, okay, like that's a lesson for sure. Like, I think that's very applicable nowadays where there's a lot of stuff that's out of our control and like, you know, just like day-to-day life stuff, you know, that all we can really control is our reactions to things. But he didn't really take it there. He kind of was just like reprimanding him. Like, you know what I mean?
Don't be mad.
Like, yeah. He's just like, you don't have a right to be angry.
Don't be mad.
Which is, you know, but I feel like Jonah was being kind of like a angsty teenager about it too.
Definitely.
So.
And I think that what you said about involvement is key, where it's like, you're not allowed to be mad about something you had nothing to do with, that you're not, that you haven't involved yourself in. It's interesting because this story is from the book of Prophets. So he's considered a prophet, but he's such a reluctant one.
Yeah.
He's dragging his heels literally the whole time.
Yeah.
Through his whole story.
Interesting.
He could have stayed and helped the city that doesn't know their right from their left.
Yeah. Maybe he did. We just don't know.
We
need to fanfic this, Lily.
Maybe he stomped back down and helped the city.
How would you end this story if you had to invent an ending?
I would have Jonah come back down the mountain and then show them that trick with your hands, where if you put them out in front of you, the hand that's making the L is your left. And the
ah, yes.
So the other hand where the L is backwards is your right. And then I would do one of these and I'd go back to Tarshish.
And get some snacks.
And do whatever I was planning on doing over there, which was probably more fun than going to Nineveh. Than going to Cleveland.
Oh my goodness, that's so good.
How would you have ended it?
I don't know. I feel like I might have ended it by maybe Jonah's just like never a character that gets resolved, and like the story is just more about his inability to grow, and he just throws himself back into the ocean and lives with whales.
He keeps just wanting to end it.
Yeah.
He was like, all right, just throw me overboard and I'll die.
Yeah.
And then he gets to Nineveh and God's like, I think I'll save the city after all. And he's like, okay, well then kill me, because what am I even for?
Yeah.
And then God makes it really hot and he's like, just do it already.
Yeah.
He's like, got a death wish. You know who he reminds me of? Buffy.
Oh.
She's also a reluctant protagonist character.
Yeah. I was going to say Hamlet, but I don't know if that's accurate.
They're not equals. I just want to put... I'm just saying that reminds me of that situation.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that was a great story, Lily.
Megalodon.
And then Megalodon ate everyone. And then dinosaurs ruled the earth. The end.
Thank you for listening. We want to remind you, we are not here to mock or glorify the Bible. We are just two
modern day whales.
Modern day megalodons.
Yes.
All right. We are just two
modern-day megalodons
trying to wrap our heads around an ancient text.
Chomp! Oh, but also, like, you leave the reviews and, like, all the stuff and, you know, all the stuff we usually say.
If you haven't subscribed to our podcast, please like and subscribe and leave a review if you're able to on whatever platform you're listening to. We are on, I think, all the platforms now, but let us know if we missed yours.
Thank you for listening. Okay, bye.
Bye. Have you ever been trapped in a storm on a ship that feels like it is being broken apart from everywhere? Here at Dial a Deity, you can phone in to any deity for whatever questions or help you may need. Questions like...
Ring, ring.
Hello, Goddess of Wisdom.
Hi, I need help with my math homework. It's really hard. Mm-hmm. How do you find 20% of 50? Mm-hmm.
Okay, multiply the number by the percent, divide the answer by 100, and don't forget to move the decimal point two places to the left.
Okay, so like I divide the 50...
Goodbye.
Beep, boop, beep. Ring, ring.
Hello, Goddess of Hearth and Home. How can I help you?
Hi there. I was just wondering, do you have any tips for opening jars? I have this jar and it won't open.
Is it cold over there?
Sometimes
when it's cold, I have trouble opening my jars.
Okay.
It's been really cold here.
Is that so? Where are you guys located?
But you know what? It's also been sunny.
Well, that sounds nice.
So we'll take what we can get, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally understand. So I'm wondering, like, what do you think I should do?
Okay, so just run the jar under hot water and make sure the water's nice and hot, but not too hot.
Okay.
If the jar came out of the freezer, you don't want to put it under boiling water.
That makes sense. All right, so I'll try the water then.
Shatter the glass that way. Then if it won't open after you run it under the hot water, you're just going to turn it upside down and give it a whack on the counter.
Okay, all right, that sounds great. Thank you.
Right on the counter, unless the jar's a glass jar. Then you got to put a dish towel down on the counter, and then you give it a whack.
Thank you so much. That is really helpful.
I'd hate for you to hurt yourself.
Me too. Thank you so much today. I really
with that jar.
Yep. Thank you so much. I will. Okay, I gotta go. Okay, bye.
So nice to die.
Greetings, human. This is the God of War.
Hi, my name is Timmy, and there's this kid at school. His name is Greg, and he picks on me.
We will vanquish him.
Okay.
Are you prepared for battle, Timmy?
I have my crayon.
Crayons? What are those?
To write down what you say.
Timmy, what weapons have you mastered?
I can play the clarinet.
Good or bad?
I can play it real good.
Okay, Timmy, how many men do you have in your army?
I have my dad, and I have a brother, but he's little.
How little, Timmy?
He's 3.
Perfect. He can still fight like a man.
Okay.
Timmy, I need you to take them and get them some arms. Okay. Do you know what arms are?
Yeah. Well, I got 2 of them.
You have 2 arms? 2 sets of arms, Timmy.
Yeah.
Timmy, I need you to do one thing for me.
Yeah?
You must always be high. You must always be higher than the opponent, Timmy.
Okay.
What's the highest thing you know of?
God, there's the slide.
Yes, stay on the slide, Timmy.
Okay.
All right, Timmy, last question. What do you have available for rations?
Well, what are rations?
Rations are what you eat, Timmy. They're what you eat in war.
I have fruit gummies, but Greg took them at lunch today.
We will reclaim your lost treasure, Timmy.
Okay.
All right, Timmy. Based on what you've told me, here's what we're going to do. Are you ready to write down the plan?
I have my crayon.
Okay, Timmy. Perfect.
It's blue.
Even better. Timmy, what you're gonna do is first, at the dawn of the day, you will play your clarinet outside of his window and lure him out of his home.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah.
Then you will take your brother, who is 3, and your father. You will take your 2 arms and you will go to the top of the slide and wait for him there.
Okay.
When you see the whites of his eyes, you and your men will charge into battle.
Okay.
And you will vanquish him, Timmy. And at the end of the day, you will be eating your fruit gummies and he will be dead.
Oh, thanks, mister.
You're very welcome.
Our lines are open 24 hours a day. Please call bloop, 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 bloop. So call anytime, any god, anywhere.
1-800-DIAL-A-DEITY is not sponsored by the government of Israel.